All right.
Hey, everybody. Here we are.
And we are back.
It's Monday. It's the last day of August, and I am always so happy when August is gone.
Yeah, it's because beginning of the month's almost payday.
Well, that too, but it's like, that almost means, even though technically it's still going to be hot here for like several more months, it kind of sort of symbolically means that summer is over, and I hate summer, so.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very happy to see like fall arriving. Over. Yeah, I'm already pretending it's fall. I had my September calendar drawn up like a week ago because I was so ready to get rid of this fucking shit.
Well, we got 10. We got 10 of them in there now.
Yeah.
So here, let me put this there.
Okay.
Get that going.
Alrighty. All right. So today we are going to talk about a little movie called One Bedroom.
Yeah, this is a fucking weird movie.
One BR. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me give a little background on this. This actually came out in 2019. Now, interestingly, when we were going through a thing where we were renting movies off the Xbox, and like we would go through there and like see the new movies, this was one of the ones that was like on my list to do. And this was like a few months ago. I think the reason, like, it looked really good, but like the reason that I didn't watch it was because in the trailer, you know that something really bad is going to happen to a cat. And so I was just like, I was like never in the mood to like watch it because
I didn't see that part. I must have,
I think that was like near the beginning when you were still,
okay,
that was only like 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. So, it's a weird movie. This, if you're into, if you know anything about Scientology, you'll like the movie.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to, I was going to say, I don't want to spoil too much
about it,
but it's hard to, I mean, that's kind of spoiling it's about it, but
Well, now, you know, pretty soon that something like that's going on. That's the attraction of the movie. Woman falls into this fucking bizarre ass cult, and it's like, it's pretty, it's like a horror movie. It is a horror movie, I guess.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's more psychological horror, but there is some kind of.
She's fucking with me again this early in the goddamn thing. Hey, stop it! Stop it! Poop. She's trying to get me to go.
Well, because she was sleeping in there on the bed with you, and then she was mad because you got up and left.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to leave. You got to stay there.
What's that?
Next to her.
She's got this thing where she'll go up to any kind of bookcase and go and hit it and look at me. She'll look at me.
She's like, I'm being bad.
Yeah, she's like, whoever stop me. Because she wants to wrestle.
She's incorrigible.
Yeah, she wants to wrestle. All right, let's get back to the deal.
Yeah.
Stop it, Poop. Look at her. Look.
What is she doing? Oh, my goodness.
She's trying to dig through the books.
She likes the sound that it makes, I guess. But yeah, so finally, so I had seen the trailer before and I'm like, oh, I can't stand when like bad stuff happens to kitties. I don't give a shit. They can like fuck up all the people they want. But it's like when they start doing bad stuff to kitties, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I'm going to have to be like in a particular mood to watch this. So I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it for a really long time. And then I saw that it had just come up on Netflix. Like they just added it the other day. So I said, well, I guess that's some kind of sign. So I guess I'll finally get around to watching it. And then I'll just have to, like, steal myself, like, through that part. Because it's really upsetting. Like I said, I could watch pretty much anything in a horror movie. Except bad stuff happening to animals and anything to do with poop or vomit. Other than that, I can watch pretty much anything. But yeah, so be warned if you don't like seeing bad stuff happen to kitties. Bad stuff's going to happen to a kitty.
Got her. Scared her. Yeah, I scared you.
She was scared of the garbage truck this morning.
Yeah, she tried to fucking just throw herself through the damn glass door.
Well, she wanted to go outside on the porch this morning, and then the garbage truck came by early.
She's scared of that garbage
truck. And she does not like the garbage truck. So she was like, okay. Oh my God! Oh my God! It's going to eat me!
Okay, you come here. You come here. No, you come here. Come here. Look at this. Come here.
She's being terrible.
She's going.
Yeah.
She's like, you're gonna have to chill out.
Yeah.
You're
calm down, Pook. It's all right. Yeah. I was talking about like before the movie came on. I told Pookie. I said I think something bad's gonna happen to a kitty. You might not want to watch it. So she went in the other room. But yeah. So the premise of this movie is that there's this girl named Sarah. And she, implication being that she has come from like kind of a wealthy family, but I guess her dad is kind of a dick or they don't really get along. I guess like the dad was cheating on the mom, like when the mom was dying of cancer or something like that. And the daughter hasn't really forgiven her. And there's also, forgiven him rather. So I think there's kind of a thing where the dad has kind of like spoiled her, but she wants to prove that she can live independently and he doesn't think that she can. So she basically drops everything and moves out to LA to pursue her dream of being like a costume designer or whatever. So she goes to LA, she gets like a temp job, and she is gonna do like some schooling there or whatever for the you know, for the clothing design or whatever. And so she's looking for an apartment, and it so happens that she comes by this building that's having an open house with an apartment that is apparently like pretty reasonable rent for the area. So she goes into the open house, into the apartment, and it's like a really nice apartment, but there's like a whole bunch of other people walking around in there. She's like, oh man, I'm never going to get it, like with all these people. But then the guy who's the apartment manager is like, oh, you know, it's not first come, first serve. You should fill out a thing and, you know, maybe you'll get it. So as it goes on, she does end up getting the apartment, and she's very, very happy about it. So she moves into the apartment. Now, at first, I mean, you know this is a horror movie, so you know some bad shit's gonna happen. But I liked that for a long time, you're not sure exactly what it is. Because it's like, it's a little bit like Stepford, but not that overt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody seems really friendly, really welcoming, but not in a really weird way. Not at first. So she kind of comes in and like everybody in this building is like, you know, oh, we really try to make this a community, like make this a neighborhood. And we want everyone's super nice to her and everything like that. There's just this one kind of creepy guy that only has one eye. But, you know, this older lady that lives there that like used to be an actress or whatever. She's like, oh, he's just sad. Like his wife died, you know, not too long ago. So don't be too hard on him. He's not creepy. He's perfectly fine and all this other stuff.
They're talking about the Frazetta. Thank you. Thank you for the compliment about the Frazetta. Yeah. It's on canvas.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, she keeps scratching.
Yeah, stop it.
So the first things that happen, like I said, at first everything seems pretty copacetic. Like everybody seems cool, you know, it's a nice place. Now, one thing is that it says on the lease that you're not supposed to have any pets. Well, she has a cat, a little orange kitty named Giles. And she lies and says that she doesn't have a cat, but so she kind of sneaks him into the apartment, right? So always from the beginning, I'm like dreading just like, what the hell is going to happen to this cat? Even though I kind of knew because it was in the trailer. So at first, the only shit that happens is that she's, you know, laying in bed at night and she hears these really weird noises, like almost like shit, like the plumbing, like creaking the walls or something like that. And it's so loud that it keeps her awake. So she's like, you know, fucking up her job. She forgets about stuff like to do with her school. Like she misses deadlines and things like that because she's tired all the time. And the weird thing is when she starts asking other people if they heard the noise of the pipes and everything like that, nobody seems to have heard it. So that's a little strange. And so as that goes, she's getting more and more frazzled, more and more tired. She's like, man, I just, you know, she has to get fucking earplugs and everything. But, you know, for the first half hour, you're not entirely, you know something's wrong, but you don't know exactly what. And then it comes the thing where the bad thing happens to the cat. Because somebody, like one of the neighbors, like slips something under a door, like with the pet policy and like writes something on it, like some of us are allergic, you selfish bitch or something like that. And she gets kind of upset about it. And then that night, something really, really bad happens to Giles, the cat. And then something really, really bad happens to Sarah. Now, like I said, I didn't know where this was going, and I liked that. So, like I said, you saying that it's a cult, I mean, that's kind of like a spoiler, because it's probably better to go into this not knowing exactly what's going on. I didn't know if this was like a Rosemary's Baby situation. I didn't know if this was supernatural situation. I didn't know if everyone was robots. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And that was kind of cool. That like kept me really interested.
Yeah, they were robots. They were based on Scientologists.
And it's like, it's funny because the more, like the more it goes, the more it goes into it, I'm sitting there like looking at some of the shit that they're putting her through. And I'm like, this has got to be based on Scientology. It's gotta be.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way, I mean, it could be based on some other shit too, but it's like just the way that they're
also
so,
kind of Nexium.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit too.
It's kind of like, because everybody's trying to give her this book, like this PhD wrote. They have like the school at the apartment building where like they're telling all the kids, like, and the old guy is like on the TV, like telling them about his four pillars and all this other kind of, cause it's not a religious cult, but it definitely does come across, you know, and they hook her up to like fucking a lie detector and are asking her about her sex life and all this other kind of shit.
That's right.
So like I said, that's right out of Scientology. And I think that, I didn't read like a great deal of reviews about this except for one. And the one review that I read didn't mention it. But I did feel like because this is something that happened to a lot of younger actors that went to LA, like, to be in the movie business or whatever, and then they ended up getting sucked into Scientology because they would set up, like, acting classes and all that kind of shit. So I felt like this was kind of... That the guy that wrote and directed this, whose name is David Marmor, by the way, I think this is his first movie. I think that's probably where he got the idea. It's not exactly the same, but it was similar enough that I was like, that had to be where he got the idea from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really liked this movie, and I really liked the end. I really liked how it was resolved. It's pretty short. It's only like 1 hour and 30 minutes long. And I didn't really think it needed to be any longer or shorter than that. I thought it was really good. It didn't drag. You know, there was, like I said, there was just this whole creepy thing where you weren't entirely sure what was going on or what the people's end game was or how extensive this shit was that was going on. And so I really, really liked the suspense. Also, the girl that played Sarah, I'm not sure. I think her name is Nicole Brynan Bloom. She was great because a lot of the shit in the movie was kind of like on her shoulders, because a lot of it was like her face, like close-ups of her face, like her reactions of like the shit that was going on. And I like the way they portrayed her at the beginning as kind of like this spoiled little rich girl who was trying to go out on her own for the first time, but she was also very accommodating. So I feel like she was targeted specifically because she wasn't used to like standing up for herself, and she was used to just like going along with what other people told her to do.
Yeah.
So I really liked like the way they did like the arc of her personality, like as she kind of got sucked farther and farther into the shit.
I do have to disagree a little bit though. It was a religious cult. It just wasn't Christianity. All cults are religious. All of them.
I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, even the army had elements of religious cult, or the infantry did. Costumes, rituals. You know what I mean? Fucking rites of passage. Fucking there were things kind of like Holy Scripture. Even corporations have elements of cults and religions to them. It's all religion.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't like...
It wasn't a Christian type
That's
cult.
What I meant.
It was, but it's religion.
That's what I meant. I meant it was like a Scientology or like a corporate type of cult. Yeah, sort of.
Right. And Scientology is definitely a religion. Definitely. It's a UFO cult. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I think Nexium was a religion, too.
Yeah.
Any kind of hardcore programming, any hardcore training program that changes who you are and gives you abilities and improves you or rebuilds you, it's a big element. There's a big element of religion in it, because there's faith, penance, all kinds of stuff. Just call it something else.
Yeah.
You know, and I experienced that in the infantry. Each little unit was a fucking different cult, a different warrior cult. They all had their own fucking tribal fucking, canon, you know, their war history, what battles they were in and everything. It's all just part of it.
Yeah.
And corporations are exactly like that.
Yeah.
At the higher levels. So everything's pretty much a cult.
Yeah.
You can look at it that way. And everything has I think it's fascinating. A lot of people are very uncomfortable with religion. I like religions. I think they're fucking crazy. I also think that they kind of work. They do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to just comfort people in hard times and give people a value system and help them face death. That's really what it's about. And how to get through life. It's a substitute for a government.
Yeah.
And both can be abused. Both of them can be abused.
Bee's Nest asked, does it show real cat abuse? No, of course not. But you know that you see the cat and she's like super into the cat, you know, because that's like her little buddy, because she's like all alone out here in LA. And then, I mean, obviously it's not real. And you don't see somebody doing something to the cat. You just see the aftermath of what happens to the cat. And like I said, it's in the trailer. So, you know, if you want to go watch the trailer, you'll get what I'm driving at. But this, it's funny because when I watched the trailer, like, a long time ago, that was one of the reasons that I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to have to really be fortified if I'm going to watch that, because that's, like, real, like I said, that's really upsetting. Dogs, too, it's like anytime that, you know, anything bad is done to animals in a movie, even if it's not real, I know it's not real, except for unless you're Cannibal Holocaust. But, you know, it's just really, really bothers me. Like I said, you can fuck up all the people you want, I don't care, but Leave the kitties and doggies alone, please. And the lizards and all the other little animals, too. But yeah, Sandra says my stream is lagging.
That's on you. That's you. That's not us.
Well, hopefully it's not us.
Yeah, because I'm streaming it right here through my fucking tab, and it's perfect.
Yeah, we don't seem to have a problem with the lagging anymore since we got the new laptop with the that I'm using just for that.
All right, that probably wraps this one up, really. We covered it.
Yeah, probably. Like I said, this is a really good, if you like psychological horror, like I said, we sort of spoiled it by saying what it was, because I think it's better like coming at it not knowing what was happening, because I didn't really know where it was
going.
Tiger
King saying that he refuses to watch, Bee's Nest saying he's refusing to watch Tiger King. No, man, watch Tiger King.
Well, because that dude is such a shitbird.
He's a shitbird.
Like, he does, like, abuse his cats.
Yeah, it's not so much in the movie, though, but you find out later.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had too many goddamn tigers.
And they did have, like, video of him, like, kind of kicking them and, like, beating on them sometimes. But they don't show that much in the documentary.
Yeah.
Although they do bring it up, like, people
talk
about it.
Well, he kicked that one cat because that cat was fucking biting him on the foot and getting ready to eat him. Remember that?
Which, you know.
And then he shot.
Everyone was like, go, tiger.
he shot the ground in front of the tiger. Pow! To try to get the tiger off of him. Which he did. It came out later that he had too many tigers that he could feed. You know, he was doing bad shit. But that series there fucking blew my mind. I didn't know that people existed like that.
Almost everybody in that was a terrible person.
Yeah, and they're all, and it's not just them, it's these other, they're these tiger cults. They're cults. You'll see.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, like weirdos, tiger weirdos. Cults. Guy's got all these tigers, and he built his own neighborhood and with all these fucking nice houses on it, and each one of those houses, he had another fucking girlfriend in it. He had about 9 girlfriends. Or were they wives? Well, they were wives, I guess.
I don't know.
They worked for him, and
well, unless
he just
you live
kinda...
in Utah, you can't legally have.
Yeah, he wasn't legally wives.
I don't even think you could do it there.
He had a whole harem of these young women, and they loved these fucking tigers, so he'd just bring them in, and the next thing you know, he'd adopt them. And he had like 7 or 8 of them, and they had to get implants, and they had to fucking wear tiger fucking costumes. Weird shit, man. You just got to see it, man.
Yeah,
gotta see it to believe it.
Like I said, they're all just terrible people.
Yeah, my family was also fucking into the horse business, and horse girls are kind of like that too. There's weird shit going on in the fucking in the equine industry, especially the English equestrian stuff that they have around here. The trainers and the students and fucking horse girls and horse women and horse. Don't date a horse girl. Don't get involved with them. I never did. I grew up in it. You know, I was fucking doing hunter jumpers and stuff and equitation from an early age. I got pictures of myself at like 6 on fucking full horses jumping fences. I'll have to pull that picture out one of these days. But I grew up in that scene in California because my mom was into it. And it never really mystified me. I just took it for granted. You know, I've just been a rider, either horses or motorcycles my whole life. But it's just, I don't enjoy it as much as motorcycles. It was something that was just given to me as a child. It's like, you know, your parents make you learn how to play piano. It was like that. But the girls that are into that shit, man, they're fucking weird, man. Real weird. You're going to be in for some trouble if you date a horse girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of them are mentally unstable. Just saying. They can't afford their bills and shit. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah.
Louis says, I watched your horror book review. Very good. Thank you. Yeah. I've got a lot more of those. I'm going to start doing them every week. Like I said, I got a huge fucking pile of books back there that I'm going to review. And matter of fact, I've already got several other reviews already recorded because I wanted to get a few weeks ahead in case I got behind on some of the books that I'm reading, you know? But so yeah, hopefully people are like these. People seem to be liking them. And I had a few people like ask me to do horror book reviews and I've been wanting to do that. So, you know, yeah. So I put that up earlier today. I reviewed Anya Allborn's If You See Her. It's like a supernatural horror Shining meets The Exorcist kind of story, I guess. Like small town Stephen King-y type of thing. But yeah, so if you have Netflix, I'm not sure if it's available in other countries like for Netflix, but in the US, they just dropped One Bedroom on there. And it's a really decent movie. I mean, I really liked it a lot. Like I said, I liked the ending. I liked all the acting. I liked how like creepy and weird it was. And I didn't like know exactly where it was headed. But like I said, you know, trigger warning for... for bad shit happening to kitties. And also, like I said, it's kind of a Scientology thing, even though that's kind of a spoiler. But yeah. Yeah, so this has been kind of shorter than usual, but I got shit to do. He's got shit to do.
Yeah.
And we'll be on here again tomorrow, probably reviewing another new movie because I got to find another one later on tonight to watch. So we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. And bye.